Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You know the difference between hockey and those other sports? You gotta be tough to be a hockey player.
I idolized Dominic Hasek. I played goalie because of Dominic Hasek. My life in hockey has been started because of Sabres hockey. I didn't need playoffs this year. I wanted it, but I didn't need it. But when you screw up for the fans as much as this team has over the last, 5 years, and just don't hold yourself accountable, I'm sorry, I'll hang up and listen. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Two Goalies, One Mike, an in-depth look and behind-the-mask conversation about the greatest game on earth, where everything goes and nothing's off limits.
Now I'll tell you something about this guy.
This is only 3 minutes, eh?
Whammo!
And welcome everybody to episode 72 of Two Goalies, One Mike. I am Dwayne for Cully. Couldn't be here tonight, had some coaching duties, but we are joined by producer Steve and the one, the only from Puck Soup Podcast, Greg Wyshynski. This is the only entrance I could think to give you, man.
You know it's all about
Well, that's lovely. If I'm a little bit worn out, it's because I got home from Dynamite at Arthur Ashe Stadium at 3 a.m. But it was awesome. And it was draining. That's the other thing, too. It's not simply the time I got home. It was the amount of energy expended during a lot of people are saying 5 hours of wrestling. If you were there, you know it was only four because you spent an hour in the merch line. either the merch line or the beer line before Dynamite started. So if you sat there for all 5 hours, it probably means that you didn't come home with a overpriced t-shirt, is my estimation.
That's what I hear. I saw your tweet earlier. It was a gauntlet match. I forget what your exact wording in the tweet.
The Iron Man match.
Sorry. Yes. I apologize. Just to even get any type of merchandise from that event. But, you know, that must have been absolutely an unbelievable experience to be at, and we're going to get to that for sure. But the big news here today in Buffalo, obviously, was, you know, from Kevin Adams at the press conference, something we all expected. Jack Eichel to be stripped of the C. I don't think anybody really expects him to play for the Buffalo Sabres this season. But just a lot of other things too. I know there was some rumors about that the Sabres were going to cave and let him get the surgery that, you know, he wanted to get. Apparently that's not the case, Greg. And just your thoughts on that, because this has turned into, I don't think there's really any other way to say it. It's a shit show.
Clusterfuck.
Yeah, there's a lot of other ways to.
Yeah, unmitigated disaster.
I would be shocked if at this juncture they'd allow him to get the surgery that he wants. I wrote about the Kevin Adams press conference in ESPN today, and I think the stripping of the captaincy is not only a shot across the bow from management, that we have ways of twisting the screws and making it uncomfortable for you, even if they have Jack's best intentions in mind at all times. But it was also a clear indication in a physical sense that this divorce is happening.
Yep.
And that it's bitter. Kevin Adams was interesting today because he was asked point blank whether teams that he's negotiating with want Jack to have the surgery before they acquire him. And he wouldn't confirm it. He did confirm that the trade process has been complicated by Jack's injury status.
Yeah.
But he didn't confirm that there are suitors out there that are like, hey, get the surgery and we'll make the trade. If I'm the Sabres and I'm looking to A, get the maximum return for Jack Eichel that I can get, and B, try to convince Jack Eichel to get this other surgery, I'm probably putting it out there, oh yeah, the Boston Bruins say they'll trade for you if you get fusion surgery. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's the thing you do if you're the Sabres. You'd be like, the thing you want in most in life can happen. You just have to get off this artificial disc replacement bit, and then we can send you to where you want to go. But yeah. Adams was very sort of dodgy about it today. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, and you know what? It's he also obviously, and I think it's a foregone conclusion. I'm not sure which reporter said he wouldn't even commit to saying if Jack Eichel has played his last game in a Buffalo Sabres uniform. Which, I mean, come on. I mean, at this juncture, I heard on the radio today, you know, from an inside source on WGR 550 that they his stuff has been cleaned out and he hasn't had a locker there since that day. You know, he made those comments back in May, which is, again, wild to me. Like, you know, like it seems like all those rumors you heard last season or the prior season about that they were possibly looking to trade him back then, it started to look like those were true, which back then I thought, are you crazy? You don't get guys like Jack Eichel every day. You don't luck into – I mean, you could say they didn't win the lottery, but they still got one hell of a consolation prize in Jack Eichel that year at the McDavid draft. And, you know, I could never how many years ago that was, I would have never believed we would have gotten to this point.
All my friends in Buffalo are like, Wyshynski, don't go down that Connor McDavid road again. I made more enemies amongst Sabres fans by being like, you guys just wanted McDavid. And they're like, no, we wanted one of the top two picks. Come on, let's be honest. I think the trade stuff with Eichel, though, as far as maybe like having shopped him before all the surgery nonsense, I mean, we have to factor in the idea that we heard that he was unhappy last summer, right? Well, two summers ago. And so if there was that exploration, it could be because Jack necessitated it by being maybe letting it be known inside the organization that that of his discontent. And at the very least, you have to kind of explore that lest you end up with a pre-trade Ryan O'Reilly, you know, when he was sullen and complaining in the locker room. You know, post-trade Ryan O'Reilly is a whole different conversation as far as like what that meant for the Sabres. But the thing about the surgery bit was that there was always this, you know, notion, whether it was accurate or not, that Jack saw this as a way to really make a break from the organization. Now, that's not to say that the injury isn't legit. It's not to say that his desire to get replacement disc surgery isn't legit. I mean, especially when you see the differences between what his life will be after he's done playing with that surgery versus with fusion surgery. But there's no question that if you were going to kind of game plan this out for what would be the way for Jack to pull the chute and escape Buffalo, a dispute over the best course of treatment for his own body, to me, would be like, I don't want to say an easier sell, but maybe a more justifiable escape plan than simply, I'm tired of losing, which again is justifiable. But in this case, it's very justifiable to be like, I have an injury and they're not letting me treat it the way that I want to treat it.
And you're not wrong there, man. What blows my mind, Greg, is the fact that this was even an option for teams in the CBA. Like, you know, we looked in the NFL CBA. There's a lot of consulting that has to take place when you have an injury and you want to the direction you take with the surgery you get. But at the end of the day, it's the player's decision, essentially a player's decision over their own body and what course of action they decide to take. And the fact that the NHL Players Association allowed them to lose this type of decision for the players themselves, that's mind-blowing to me. That's just like insane.
Yeah, I mean, and it goes back to a lot of the disputes that we have in this league where players are unhappy about XYZ, and it's like, well, you know, if your union was stronger or more on point or willing to make the necessary sacrifices to get the things that you guys want, then you wouldn't be in this pickle. You know, the salary cap, escrow, like it all comes back to, are you willing to go to battle with the NHL and know what the cost of that battle will end up being, which is that, you know, potentially another canceled season or two, you know, to get what you really want. So, yeah, it surprised me, too. I think like a lot of people have gotten a real education on the medical processes of players since the Eichel thing happened. But again, the tough one for me, and I'm a players guy, and you know, I think that the notion of this surgery being experimental is a little bit overstated by the medical community. I mean, it's been done on athletes in other contact sports. It just hasn't been done for an NHL player yet. I do think it's tough though when there is an alternative. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's a time tested alternative that's safe, that will extend his playing career, that undoubtedly has more complications later in life than this other surgery. But it's not as if, you know, he's asking for a, you know, a Ferrari and they're like, well, how about this 87 Geo? You know, like there are two good options on the table. It's just that Jack believes there's one that's significantly more beneficial to him than the other.
Correct. And like we mentioned earlier, you know, Steve, I know you were talking about this, is that, you know, this guy wants to be able to pick up his kids when he's 4 years old. You know, he wants to be able to, you know, do coach pitch in baseball with his kids. And, you know, you know, there's a life after hockey. And I think one of the biggest points to be made here, and I know, Steve, I know me and you talked about it, was that the Olympics are this year. And there's anything you know about Jack Eichel, is that he takes a ton of pride in wearing that jersey. And you have to believe, even though it wasn't announced, you know, till about a month ago that they were going to return to the Olympics, that had to have been the back of Jack's mind at the start of all this back in May, that, you know, if I go down this road and I butt heads with the team, there's a chance that, you know, this could leak over into my opportunity to play in the Olympics. And there's no sure thing that in 8 years, you know, there's going to be another opportunity for Jack Eichel. You know, we all remember how upset Alex Ovechkin was 4 years ago, you know, when, or how many years ago it was, when he wanted to be, you know, represent Russia, and he was even threatening to go over there anyway, even though it wasn't supposed to be allowed. So, like, to sit there and say, and I know there's a small contingent of Sabres fans who think this was a ploy to get out of Buffalo. Well, I think this should put that all to rest. He failed the physical, and now his opportunity to play for Team USA may all be lost. And that just goes to show how strongly he feels about getting this procedure, the disc replacement.
Yeah, and so, like, all due respect to the Sabres, I don't give a shit about you guys when it comes to Team USA. This was our shot, man. This is our shot. We were gonna go to Beijing with Austin Matthews and Jack Eichel up the middle. We were gonna have two franchise centers up the gut for the first time, maybe in my lifetime, as an American. I mean, maybe you go back to, like, I don't know, maybe you had Madonna and Roenick on the same team.
LaFontaine.
I'd have to go back and check that out. But, like, my God, we finally had a shot. Now, granted, like, Canada's like, maybe we play McDavid with Sidney Crosby. I get it. They're real good. But, like, we would have had the thing that we've lacked forever on this team. And, again, like, Jack's injury is probably going to short-circuit that opportunity to really bring a competitive team that, you know, might be better than playing Finland for the bronze this time to Beijing.
Yeah, and, you know, it just, you know, it just goes to show, like, you know, in the mindset I was before that press conference in May, as I looked at the Sabres roster, I looked at, man, the one thing we've lacked since we lost, the day we lost both Breer and Drury, which is another conversation, you know, it's another dark day in Buffalo history. You lose those two guys in the same day. This is the first time we look solid down the middle. You had Sam Reinhart playing so well at center in Jack's absence. You have Jack. You have Dylan Cousins. And Casey Mittelstadt, you know, swap in as maybe your third or fourth line center, or a guy who can just, you know, fill in from here to there. Like, that's – it's so hard to sustain success in this league if you don't have depth down the middle. And we finally had it. And then Jack Eichel gets on that Zoom call and shits all over it, Sam Reinhart shits all over it. It's just like, same thing with the Olympics. It's just like, you have your opportunity to have possibly as good, if not better, depth down the middle than Team Canada. And sorry, guys, too bad. Like, Buffalo's going to ruin that too. Unbelievable.
Right. And then you come back to the reality of the situation, which is that you trade this to you guys. And whatever Eichel brings back, he brings back. But then you hit the reset button, basically. Like, there are obviously pieces on the roster that you can feel good about, like Dahlin and Cousins and guys like that. But like, at the end of the day, it's kind of you're sailing in a new direction. You're no longer Team Eichel, you know, which is what you've been since the draft. And that's really frustrating. You know, it takes a while for that to reconfigure. You look at a team like Ottawa, for example, that saw this mass exodus of talent over the last 5 years of guys. I mean, they're starting to piece it together, but by no means do I think that they've, you know, put it together. And by no means is there anybody on that roster as good as Erik Karlsson, for example, when he was in his prime, or Mark Stone, all due respect to Brady Tkachuk. So it takes a while. And to think about having to not only say goodbye to a franchise player that you may never get that caliber of talent again within like the next decade, but to then have to kind of just like throw the puzzle pieces on the floor and see what kind of picture it can make is incredible. It's just so frustrating. But then again, like, that's one of the reasons Jack wants to leave. He's like, he's been in like three different rebuilds in his career. How is that possible? Temporally, how is that possible?
Since Terry and Kim Pegula have bought this team, 6 head coaches and 4 general managers in just over 10 years. That's insanity. How can you expect to have success at any level, in any sport, when you have that kind of turnover in those two positions? And then the O'Reilly trade, you know, obviously, you know, and other players that have been, you know, that have left the organization, and then the guys that stuck around for longer than they should have. I mean, how do you justify telling this guy, don't worry, we're gonna get it right. We're finally gonna get it right this time, Jack.
And yeah, there's no level of trust there.
There isn't
at all. And yeah, especially when you think about the one guy that he respected in the organization, although he turned out not to be a very good coach, was Ralph Krueger. Yeah, okay. And then you throw him out the door, and Jack's like, all right, who's my guy now? I mean, I think he's got a good relationship with Granato from out of here, but at the end of the day, it's just like, how many times do you have to hit the reset button for this guy before he's like, I need to go someplace else? But it's a shame. I mean, it's a real shame. I think when I was at that draft with McDavid and Eichel, you know, despite the fact that they didn't get McDavid, there was still a sense of, okay, this is the thing now. This is the direction we're going in. We've got a guy to build around. And it just never came to fruition.
No, it didn't, man. And it's it's just like there are all these hopes you had, you know, when you brought him in, and you kind of luckily won the Dahlin, you know, draft. And then you have your two pieces, right? Your franchise center, your franchise defenseman. You kind of look at the blueprints that teams in the past have drawn up, like Chicago and L.A. You know, Chicago, you know, with Duncan Keith, and you have Jonathan Toews. L.A. back then with Doughty and Kopitar. You know, down in Tampa Bay, the team, a team that, you know, is looking to make it 3 in a row this season, and how they've built. You know, that team with Stamkos, Hedman, and Kucherov, like, you had the blueprint there. You were on your way to making the right decisions. And I think the real issue here is at the very top, you know, you have a person in Kim Pegula who runs this team who has no experience in running a hockey team, but just refuses to allow hockey people to make hockey decisions. Now, Kevin Adams, I feel like I do get the, you know, when it comes to the football side of things, the Brandon Bean vibes a little bit, you know, trying to build a culture. But that guy also had no experience when you brought him in. He's a first-time GM. He's never been an assistant GM. And 3 years ago, he was coaching the Academy of Hockey down at the Harbor Center. So how am I supposed to trust you to do this job right?
Yeah. But the teams you mentioned also had something else, like you were just getting at, which is it had Dean Lombardi and Daryl Sutter. And it had, you know, Steve Yzerman and then Julien Brisebois and then John Cooper, you know, on the bench. And it's when you are swapping out GMs and coaches with the regularity that the Sabres have, it's not a recipe for success. It's throwing everything you can at the wall and seeing what sticks.
It's like throwing darts at a board and just hope you get a good score. I know we don't have you for much longer, Greg. And I appreciate you coming on with us. But one last thing I wanted to pick your brain on is we all know that you attended AEW Dynamite last at Arthur Ashe Arena, and you got possibly to see the match of the year, Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson, formerly Daniel Bryan, and you know, just the between that. The Malakai Black match with Cody Rhodes, just that whole event, the CM Punk promo, it was just absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, I know we've said this a lot, and people have been saying this a lot over the last couple months. What a time to be a wrestling fan. Before you answer, I want to just change into my wrestling attire.
All right, nice.
All right, and I wore this, actually, this jersey. I bought this jersey specifically for you yesterday because of your pinned tweet.
Ah, brilliant.
At the vintage store.
I've often said that if the Devils adopted a black jersey with a devil face on it and signed Chetan and gave him number 6, they would have been able to pay for every player contract for a decade with the money they would have made.
Oh my God.
You're not
wrong. It was insanely fun. Like the energy level, as probably people will watch it at home, no, it was off the charts. And it was off the charts, not only for Dynamite, but then they taped Rampage. That'll be on Friday. After it, and the remarkable thing was just how much juice that crowd had to like go through, not only like I said, the hours of wrestling that were happening, but like the amount of cheering and reaction that was necessary. And man, it was fun. And I've heard people like complain that the Kenny and Daniel Bryan match shouldn't have been first. I'll say this about that, like. One, it kept it interesting because you didn't know if they were going to do the time limit draw. If you do it at the end of the show and you look at your watch, it's like a half an hour left. You're like, oh, of course. Yeah. And then two, like you want Bryan Danielson's debut to feel epic. And if you put it at the start of a show in that place with that crowd, it was just going to be 30 minutes of absolute chaos. And that's what it ended up being. Man, I like everybody. I grew up a WWF fan. I was a WWF fan even through the Monday Night Wars.
Yep.
Loyalty. But shit, man! Like AEW has gotten me more into wrestling than anything else has in decades. Like, it's just so fun and so true to itself, and you feel that the wrestlers and the performers have ownership of what they're doing. And there's a certain, you know, ice cream for dinner aspect of some of the things they do. I mean, I was just telling my friend last night at Dynamite, like, everybody who we wanted to see win kind of won for the most part, outside of a few things. But that's fine. It doesn't always have to be subversion. It can sometimes just be a good story that gets you to the desirable end. And the most amazing thing about it right now is that we were at Dynamite trying to figure out when the matches were going to happen. And like one of us was like, well, they got to open with this match. They'll open with Cody. They'll open with Kenny and maybe they'll open with Darby and Sting. And the point of it is that every match on that card could have opened it and every match on that card could have closed it.
Oh, yeah.
And for that to be a 2-hour television show, in the year of our Lord 2021, and those are your options, like you're doing something right. And it's a joy to be a fan of that organization, WWE, for certain things at this point. But like I'm juiced up as a wrestling fan again in a way that I haven't been in a long time, and it's because of AEW.
It's phenomenal, Steve. Did you want
two things. One of the matchups that hasn't really been like teased yet, but will inevitably happen, is likely MJF doing Cody Rhodes' previous shtick in present day times. Those two need to butt heads, and it's going to be absolutely glorious. But something else I wanted to ask about, since you actually got to see it live, how did the Butcher look? Buffalo-based wrestler, also the guitarist, and Every Time I Die. I have to tune in on Friday night to see that match. I haven't been able to see him in a long time.
He's awesome. He's slimmed down. He still does that weird goose step walk through the ring. Butcher and Blade are great. And No, it was super fun. And Rampage was super fun. That tag match was super great. And I don't know. That's part of the fun thing about being an AEW fan, is that there's a certain amount of, like, if you've been watching since the beginning, watching since, like, Butcher and Blade, you know, wrestling, and you're just like, who are they? And who's this girl with the rabbit ears? Yeah. There's a certain aspect of being a fan of the band when they're playing small clubs and, you know, making albums in their garage, and then they get a record contract, and instead of it being something real shitty, it ends up being Appetite for Destruction. Like, that's how it feels right now. It's like, it feels like they earned this moment by being so good on such a small stage that now that they're on a big stage and, you know, have been, you know, have a rocket strapped to them because of the buzz that Punk and Danielson have given them, they're not fucking up. They're not, like, all up their own ass. They're very much still true to what they are and who they are. They still have a 6'8" guy in a dinosaur mask wrestling. Like, that's beautiful. Yeah, if you're trying to go legit, you might not have the wrestling dinosaur. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know. It's a joyful experience, and it was a joyful experience to be at Arthur Ashe. I mean, you know, a hot New York crowd for any sporting event. I was just at that very stadium for the U.S. Open, which, again, like, if no one's ever been, you got to go, because, you know, tennis, but in New York, is just a hell of an experience. Just like,
it's gonna be wild.
We turn
just trying to catch the bus in New York is,
you know, it was just a real joy to be around people that were just there to, you know, have a good time and just celebrate this new, different thing that's made all of us really, really happy as fans.
I think it could best be embodied in the look when you see CM Punk cut a promo, because it's like you can see the joy, right? You can hear the joy, you can see it, and that's what he's always talked about over the years and his hiatus, is it's like he wanted that joy of professional wrestling back. And, you know, I was like you, dude. I was team WWF through the Monday Night Wars. I was loyal, and at the beginning of AEW, I first got onto the Elite. My uncle introduced me to those videos. Remember, and you've probably seen them, the Southpaw wrestling videos.
Oh yeah,
some of the funniest stick you'll ever see.
Yeah,
and he initially after that we watched the Elites, the Elite show, and I'm like, who are these guys? I'm like, are you kidding me? How are these guys not in WWE? Like, and I just started to follow them. I started buying the swag. I got, you know, the Cleaner Omega shirt, you know, the American Nightmare back Bullet Club, you know, when Jericho first came over to AEW, you know, the Bucks of Jericho shirts. I have like over 100 t-shirts in my closet right now. I'm afraid to show any female what's going on in my closet. Immediately out the door. She's like, are you kidding me? That's what you're, 90% of your wardrobe? Yeah, it is. And I'm not embarrassed.
Well, the good news is that it's become, at least for this moment, we're in a socially acceptable to be a wrestling fan cycle.
Yep.
So there's always a down cycle. There's always a down cycle. It'll happen again. It ebbs and flows. But I don't know if we're necessarily at a Rock hosting SNL stage, but we're definitely in a MJF was on the local television station in New York.
MJ
and keeping kayfabe stage.
In one of Jericho's books too. I'll let you go record this. Is one of Jericho's books he wrote. He said, he talked about his early years with WCW and WWF. It's like he refused to break kayfabe anywhere he went, and he told the story about he was in an elevator and there was this kid who recognized him, and he was a heel at the time, and he's like trying to ask him for an autograph, Mr. Jericho, an autograph, and he refused to even look at him. He refused to look at him. He's just like, mean mugging, refused to look at the kid. The kid's dad is like, dude, are you serious? Like, he's like, yeah, and that's what it was all about for those guys, because they're playing a part. This is pre-internet era where, you know, now everything's ruined by the internet. There's no more shock and awe. And I hate that about wrestling now. It's like, you can't really keep, you know, have that shock and awe factor that we had back in the Monday Night Wars, you know. It sucks, and you know, I hope WWE can figure that out. There's rumors that they're getting ready to lose Kevin Owens, which is a huge mistake. Well, Kevin Owens is the best man.
AEW. You could already You can already see the effect that AEW's had on the competition.
Yeah.
Just, and a rising tide, you know, what's the phrase? High tide rises all boats or whatever the hell it's called. Yeah. It'll happen, you know, and they're already responding to the competition, and they need competition because they grew very, you know, atrophied, complacent. So,
well, I heard NXT is already getting ready to go to TV14, which is, I think, is a huge, you know, a very good thing. Not that we're going to get MJF promos in Cincinnati with Pillman's family. But that was unbelievable, by the way.
The entire city of Cincinnati, mid. Dude, that was
good when stuff. He got in his grandmother's face. It was unbelievable. I'm sure you saw the pictures of MJF's parents in the crowd with the sign.
Yeah.
We think he sucks too. Fuck you, Mom. But Greg, thanks for hopping on with us. I'm sorry we kept you a bit later.
Hey, no worries.
Carried over with the wrestling talk sometimes.
Yep.
Steve Bennett, you know, want me to say hello to you.
Tell him I said hi. A true pioneer.
Yeah, it's a 24-inch podcast. You know, it's an unbelievable. I don't know if you've checked it out yet. Another really huge mark, you know, obviously based around Hogan, but, you know, I've enjoyed listening to it. You know, he talks about all his old stories, going to shows with his dad back in the Hogan, Rowdy Piper era, Andre the Giant, just all the great experiences he had. And he goes through all it's a really kind of like, you know, a historical index of just how great wrestling was back in the day with all those superstars. So definitely check it out, guys. If you have the 24-inch podcast, you know, on all, you know, your podcasting platforms, unbelievable stuff. I don't know if you've checked it out yet or Greg, but I suggest you do.
I have not. I will.
Definitely check it out. And thanks again for joining us, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. That was Greg Wyshynski from ESPN Puck Soup. Absolute beaut, Steve. Absolute beaut.
Yeah. I mean, when he asked me to co-host this episode, I kind of lost my mind earlier. Okay. I was just, because for so long, I've just been listening to Puck Soup at work just to kind of like calibrate my brain while doing whatever office job I've been doing for years now. Yep. So it's just kind of like, you know, one of those like low-key legends in my mind. So it's just, so I didn't have a lot to say because I don't like, what do you say? Like, what do you ask a guy like that? But we didn't get any time to talk about it, but, The only like feather in my cap as a wrestling fan was I was actually in the stadium that night in Albany, New York, when Stone Cold drove the beer truck and drenched the corporation. Obviously I was like 8 years old. So obviously like it was one of my first memories, but like, it was one of the best things ever. And, at this point, when we watch AEW, anytime that the Young Bucks have a match, I used to watch Pro Wrestling Guerrilla back in college with like a hyper like indie wrestling nerd old roommate, and every time they would get on, I would just, because I hate the Young Bucks, and I send them a video every single time I see them now in AEW when they have an actual match. I just send them that same reaction, even though I love the bit now. Like, yeah. I used to just hate heels. I never was just like, so good at being a heel that I respect it and I love it. I was just like, oh, fuck these nerds. I hate these.
That's the point of a heel, man, is it's their job to make you hate them. Like, I like the, like, here's the thing. You know, in regards, I got into this debate with somebody and a couple friends, and I said, Conor McGregor is the perfect heel. And they're like, well, they disagree with me. He's like, no, he is. He goes, well, if Conor McGregor had his choice, he would probably be loved by everyone. Like, that's great. But his actions don't say that. And everybody loves to hate Conor McGregor. The guy, he talks a lot of shit, and he gets a lot of hate. You know, the guy tried to fight Machine Gun Kelly on a red carpet of the MVTV Video Music Awards. Took a swing at him. And then right after an interview after that, he denied taking a swing. It's like, no, I wouldn't hit a white rapper, you know, a Vanilla Ice wannabe or whatever he said. It's just like, that's the thing, is he's good at making you hate him, and that's why he's a good heel. It's the same thing with the Joker. The Joker is possibly the most infamous, famous, whatever you want, how you want to put it, like villain of all time, and people love him. Well, it's your job to hate him, and he gains infamy from that. And that's what the job of a heel is. It's your job to hate them. And I think that's, guys like MJF, they're not a dime a dozen. Guys who have the ability to, make you boo them, flip them off. Like Roddy Piper, before the obviously the age of internet, he used to get people used to try and stab him or something on the way to the ring. But he played the heel perfectly, man. And it's just, it's unbelievable. This age of wrestling we're in right now. I tune into AEW. I was stubborn about it too. I was very, very, very stubborn. But I love wrestling and I love the promos they do in AEW. And I gave in. I was like, I'm elite now. I'm all elite now. Yeah. And I love every second of it.
Yeah. I mean, that same hyper nerd friend pitched AEW to me because I just kept seeing it like pop in and out of my feed as time went on. And it was just like, oh, there's a whole other wrestling league. Okay, cool. And I was like, I know he's been in the know. He never dropped off. Like, he's been like a lifer. And he's like, yeah, it's basically just pro wrestling Gorilla if they had like actual money to use. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And then like I caught a few episodes here and there. And I'm like, all right, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. And then I caught that most recent pay-per-view and I was like, okay, I'm fucking hooked.
I'm in.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I don't give a shit.
Let's go. Yeah, it's a great time. And like Greg said,
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah, it has affected WWE because Big E would have never cashed in on a non-pay-per-view if it wasn't for AEW and the ratings war that they're going through right now. So they would have never done the crossover match, the Bloodline and the New Day this past week. The other night on Raw, that would have never happened if it wasn't for AEW. So it's been a lot of fun, man, and a lot more fun than being a Sabres fan, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, CM Punk doesn't make me want to cry multiple times a year.
No, he doesn't.
Only when he says he's retiring, or just step it away for a minute and then just stays gone for longer than I want him to.
Yeah. Again, with the Sabres, we'll see what happens here, man. Doesn't look like Jack Eichel's getting traded anytime soon.
He's definitely not getting traded. It's at this point, it's painfully clear. He's not getting traded until either fusion surgery or his experimental MMA, a disc replacement surgery? Or it's like a kind of like a fake implant kind of thing.
Yeah.
I forget which one it is. But again, I never understood why everyone was so apprehensive, because the people who have gotten this surgery successfully are people who get kicked in the head for a living.
Yep. Chris Weidman.
Yeah. I think he would hopefully be okay, because those dudes don't wear helmets when they get kicked in the face. Jack will be wearing a helmet and he would ideally have Brett Murray there to fight somebody for him.
Yeah, absolutely. In a perfect world. Yeah, I guess they don't even read the room. I mean, I always feel bad for the social media people with the Sabres. And it's like, you think about it, and then they tweet this out today during that press conference, or that template. It said 100% on it earlier, but it's you're just giving ammunition to this Twitter fan base that's going to absolutely drag you all season long.
But we can't officially endorse using that. So if you're watching right now, definitely do not use that template for any nefarious or downplaying reasons. Don't be negative or disparaging towards a struggling franchise. Whatever you do, definitely don't put the hashtag Where's Kim in there, or We Are All Dwayne. Definitely don't do anything of the sort. This is our official public service announcement. Use it for good.
Use it for good.
Just to say something nice, like Rachel's Mediterranean mid.
And you don't want to know it?
Mid.
But coming off the shit show that is the Sabres, obviously it was announced, I think earlier today, that the NHL's investigation hasn't found any wrongdoing on the part of Evander Kane into the allegations of betting on his own game. Which I guess is a good thing for Evander Kane. And then, simultaneously you see these allegations from his ex-wife or soon to be ex-wife, sexual assault that make you want to throw up in your mouth. And I believe it was reported that he will not be reporting to training camp as a mutual decision between both he and the team. Personally, just get him out of the NHL. If you ask me, like, if all this stuff is true, it's a pretty damning look. And if you're going to sit here and you already have some bad stuff going on in Chicago with Bradley Aldrich and the allegations against him, and that have proven to be true, in my opinion, at least, you know, what transpired after he left the organization and when he was arrested and jailed for almost a year for sexually assaulting a 17-year-old kid. You can't have both these things, you know, staring you in the face, both that and the Evander Kane thing. So, you know, if this is all true, you just need to ban him from hockey altogether. Just get him out of the league.
Yeah, I definitely can't condone anything like that. I do remember the episode of Puck Soup, actually, where they talked about the allegation that Evander Kane was, like, throwing games to win bets. And the argument in favor that he wasn't doing that was, you know, as far year. As being an athlete, he was having a career year.
Yes.
He was. So if he personally is throwing the game, that's absurd. So at least to that, I can speak to, yeah, he's probably not throwing games and betting on his own team to win or to lose. Probably not. But to everything else, that kind of just makes him a morally contemptible human being. Yeah.
Unless he was picking specific games, I doubt it, you know.
This is the same league where, you know, teams that lead their division can lose games to a Zamboni driver who works for them.
It is true.
Or a league where the worst team in the league can consistently lose 5-2 no matter who they're playing.
Yeah. But there's plenty more to talk about, but we were on a hiatus there for a little bit, for about a month, and it was good to get away from things. And now we're back and rolling. We have some future guests, Buttes players. We are gonna continue our Buttes coverage this year. EJ Raddick has agreed to come on with us at some point. That'll be exciting. Rob Ray, at some point in the future, he'll be on with us again. Just give a long list of, you know, guests that have agreed to come on, that I cannot wait to, talk to and maybe not talk about the Sabres, because it's going to be, we need to find a second team to root for, I think, this year.
Yeah, it's called the Rochester Americans.
Yes, that's true. Or the Michigan Wolverines.
Or the Michigan Wolverines. Now that's a team and a half.
Yep, that's a team that's going to contend for a national title. Also, I've gotten confirmation to do a dual episode with both Eric Portillo and Noah West, their new freshman goaltender. So that'll be a fun time. I'm excited for that. And maybe we'll try and get Stevie Shields on for that one too. Just do a big interview. So with some Michigan alumni and current players. So, but with that being said, Steve, thanks for filling in, man. Producer Steve, everybody. Absolute beaut.
Thanks.
And I'm excited for this season, sort of, kind of.
Yeah, I just definitely want to see how it all unfolds. And I think it's kind of like the same thing that was happening right at the tail end of the 18-game losing streak last year. Like, the stakes have never been lower. No one is expecting anything while this, cluster fudge of the Jack Eichel situation slowly untangles itself and, unclogs that metaphorical toilet until eventually we can just flush the turd down the drain, just get it over with, stop looking at it. The stakes have never been lower. So I'm just looking to see what people just, I guess, unencumbered by all of that, just like a clean slate, clean locker room. Donnie's in charge. This is what we're doing. Let's just have fun out there. And maybe there'll be a few nights where we're pleasantly surprised. There's going to be plenty of nights where it's like, yeah, that's basically what would happen when we play insert team here. I'm not surprised. It hurts, but I went into this thinking it was going to hurt. But every so often, just get the glimpses and, hey, that was a much smarter play than you would have made this time last year. I like that. That's good. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for not doing that thing that you did every game last year. I love it.
Yeah. I'll get to a few games this season too. definitely.
I just moved here. I have to get to a game. Yeah. I've been watching Sabres games from Philadelphia for the past 7 years of my life.
That's your fault.
I want to finally be in a room of people that are all as upset as I am for the same reason. It's not just me.
I know.
It's like therapy. But,
yeah, it is.
Cheaper.
Yep. With that being said, guys, thanks again to our sponsors, 26 Shirts and Outlet Liquor, the place to buy a case. Don't haste. I'll add on to it. Don't haste. Go to the place to buy a case. You know, Outlet Liquor. Thanks again to our sponsors, and thanks again to Greg for coming on with us, and most notably thank you to producer Steve for doing all that you do, buddy, and you know, stepping in on short notice for Cully. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
With that being said, this has been episode 72 of Two Goalies, One Mic. We will talk to you soon.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
Let's go to the Blue Hotel. I wanna live at the Blue Hotel.
The podcast that goes everywhere the imagination dares. It's for the open-minded, the pleasure seeker. It's Jeff Woods with the new podcast about relationships and sexuality. Theme-based with special guests, Blue Hotel Hotline, and every episode climaxes with an adult bedtime story. Get a room and listen in at the Blue Hotel. Begins Friday, September 23rd.